You're tuned in to the HR Bandit podcast, your one-way ticket to the latest and craziest in the world of work. In partnership with Timber Media, Podcaster for India Inc. is sponsored by Adrenaline eSystems Limited.
Hey, welcome to HR Bandit, the podcast where we cover the top three news from the world of work. This is your host, Ankita. I'm joined by Apurva. And today's mix is... Wait, before I get into today's mix, Apurva, what happened to June?
So firstly, I'm so glad to be back here after 2 months. Bandits, the last 30 days have been a roller coaster for both of us. We've been taking turns battling the universe's health challenges. First, it was my encounter with COVID,
which resulted in me catching something from thousands of miles away. And just as Apurva was recovering, I got a nasty bug that had me down and under for a little over than a week.
Like our podcast, we were like a tag team, even in sickness. Instead of grappling with workplace dramas, we were just grappling with ginger tea and fever remedies while the weather was boiling outside. So it wasn't fun at all.
Well, boiling at your end maybe, but it was pouring. And it's still pouring rain here. So Bandits, whatever we've been through, we are back and it's our best mix yet.
So grab your coffee, tea, or whatever concoction gets you through the day. And Ankita, so tell us, what's on our menu today?
Well, first up, we have Foxconn, a major manufacturer of Apple devices that has been excluding female candidates from assembly job at this flagship Indian smartphone plant. And only because they're married. So we talk more about that. For our second story, there's a new kind of recession in town, and it's none other than a promotion recession. If you thought you're getting promoted this year, Bandits, maybe think again. And for our last and final topic, we are tackling yet another aspect of diversity. This time, we're talking about neurodiversity. But before we jump into our topics, Apurva, how are you feeling about a Greek vacation?
I knew you were going to mention that. Anything related to 4-day work week, and I always see you perk up. A 6-day work week, though? That just blew my mind.
You bet it did. Greece just pulled a fast one on us. It went into reverse gear and pulled a 6-day work week. So starting 1st July for certain industrial and manufacturing facilities, as well as businesses providing 24/7 services, this country, in an attempt to fill holes in the skilled labor market and boost their already fastest growing economy in Europe, is now going to work 6 days a week. Now, I could go on for hours on what Greece did, but this story didn't make the cut. It's not amongst our top three. So Apurva, let's jump straight into it.
All right. So first up, we have a piece of news from the Indian subcontinent. And I do want to open this one by thanking one of our listeners who submitted this topic for covering in our podcast. So Bandits, we did announce in our last episode that we are taking questions as well as topics from our listeners to feature on our episodes moving forward. So please keep these coming. All right. So as per a report published by Reuters on June 25, their investigation found that Foxconn, which is a major manufacturer of Apple devices, has systematically excluded married women from jobs at its main India iPhone assembly plant, on the grounds that they have more family responsibilities than their unmarried counterparts. The same investigative report quotes S. Paul, a former HR executive at Foxconn India, saying that company's executives verbally convey the recruitment rules to its Indian hiring agencies, which Foxconn tasks with scouting for candidates. This account was corroborated by 17 employees from more than a dozen Foxconn hiring agencies in India. In response to questions from Reuters, Apple and Foxconn acknowledged lapses in hiring practices in 2022 and said they had worked to address those. However, all the discriminatory practices documented by Reuters took place in 2023 and 2024, which have not been addressed by the company. Foxconn's code states it's committed to a workforce free of unlawful discrimination and that the company and its suppliers should not discriminate over marital status, gender, and other factors in hiring. Apple's code for suppliers states that they and their subsidiaries, as well as any subcontractor, should not discriminate against any worker based on age, gender, marital status, and other matters. What's interesting is that as per a news article published by NDTV Profit and Indian News House on July 4th, the Labour Ministry's regional labour commissioner in Chennai, where this particular plant or factory is located, has exonerated Foxconn over these allegations of discriminatory hiring practices. The team that the Labour Ministry team interacted with 21 current Foxconn female employees who were all married, and they confirmed that they were not facing any form of discrimination concerning wages and promotions. So, Ankita, I really want your unfiltered opinion on this one. Tell me, what was the first thought that came to your mind when you saw this report?
It was upsetting, and I think it was upsetting not because what Foxconn is doing, but the fact that I can guarantee that most women in the subcontinent can share at least one example where they were discriminated against because of their gender. Per our legislation, it does not prevent discrimination on the basis of marital status, but it does bar companies from discriminating based on gender. And since Foxconn is only excluding married women from its hiring criteria and not married men, it is discriminatory in the eyes of Indian law. So I hope that everyone who's impacted in this particular case keeps pushing, and it leads to a situation which sets an example so that no other organization would dare repeat what Foxconn did or is doing.
Yeah, and you know, what you were just saying reminded me of an incident from 9 years back when I was really desperately looking for a job. And it was this huge company that I had applied with. It was my final round of interview with a really senior HR person who reported to the CHRO. And he kept pushing me to answer why I was leaving my current organization after just 1 year. And at one point, I remember him saying, "Hey, the person who's currently leaving this role is moving on because she got married and wants to move to a different location with her husband. And I just don't want to end up in a similar situation if I were to hire you." As someone who was fresh out of college, just 1 year of experience, I was honestly taken aback and remember telling him, "You can ask me anything from my resume if you want. I'm carrying a copy. But unfortunately, I don't have an answer for, you know, what if I were to get married tomorrow?" And I later learned that the DEI head of the company also used to roll up to the person taking my interview. So I think as HR departments, we really need to do better in walking the talk when it comes to DEI. But then there's also a cultural issue at play here where firms can probably get by with certain practices in India, which would be unthinkable in the US or Europe. And also the ones at the receiving end do not contest or make such situations public, something that probably I should have done now that I look back. As HR professionals on an individual basis, I think the least we can do is catch such instances and remedy such discriminatory practices when we come across them. But I really wonder as to what we can do at a systemic level to curb this discrimination.
Before I say anything, firstly, Apoorva, I love that you actually gave them a copy of the resume and said, "Ask me questions from this, but I can't tell you anything about what happens when I get married," because that, I think, in itself is a bold move. 1 year into my corporate life, I don't know what I would have said. So kudos on that. Did you get the job, by the way?
I did not.
Yeah.
But I don't regret what I did at all.
Oh, no, I think what you did was great. And I'm glad there wasn't a twist in the tale where you got the job and you took it. That would have been a different story. And that would have been an interesting story, too. But for whatever path that led us down, I think we're doing pretty well. So on what I think, based on what you said, I don't know whether this is unthinkable in Europe or the US. I think it does. Discrimination of some sort exists. It has its own manifestation and currents. But you're right in the fact that people who are discriminated against are probably more vocal and wouldn't hesitate taking it to court. I do think there is a systemic change required. One part of it is legislature that comes in and makes changes and makes it easier to protect against these situations. But on the other hand, I think as HR professionals, we need to rethink the support we provide to new parents, irrespective of gender, and their assimilation back to work post leave. There's definitely scope for innovation here. And I would love to see organizations, especially in India, make news for experimenting in this space. And of course, when they do, we will cover it here.
Yes, I think this is a space where more is less. So we need organizations to continue these efforts, keep talking about them, keep raising our voices. I know we can go on and on, but let me take us to our next one. And I'm talking about something that doesn't seem very encouraging. By the way, this has got me thinking, why am I the one who ends up covering all the gloomy topics?
Well, because you love the word gloomy. It's not a word I use often in my vocabulary, but I also know you're definitely the glass half empty person. So then there's that.
Oh, you know, I think I'm the glass is broken person. But anyway, we digress. So today for our next topic, we're diving into an unexpected recession in the job market, what some are calling the promotion recession. In 2024, fewer people are leaving their jobs and even fewer are getting promoted, creating a logjam for new workers trying to advance. Last year, only 2.1% of Gen Z workers and a lower percentage of millennials received promotions into management roles, marking a decline from previous years. This trend has persisted into 2024, with just 1.3% of white-collar professionals seeing promotions in the first quarter, the lowest in 5 years. Companies are tightening promotion policies to cut costs and boost operational efficiency, a move that has been reflected in recent earning calls by major firms like United Parcel Service, Citigroup, Alphabet, and Meta Platforms, which are streamlining management layers. Ankita, what were some takeaways for you from the Bloomberg article that published this report?
So firstly, there are a lot of articles on the topic of promotion recently. So there's, of course, this one on promotion recession. There's another one on dry promotions. That is where you expand scope, change business titles, but that is not accompanied with an increase in pay. And then there's the Fast Company article on the fact that millennials and Gen Zs are now actively turning down promotions in order to guard against burnout, and in some cases even looking to step down for a while. So I think the tide is definitely changing in how we have historically thought about career growth and promotions. So I think growth definitely comes in various forms, and organizations are currently touting it, saying that, hey, growth doesn't always happen vertically. You can grow horizontally. You can take on different roles. But I think what's happening is that this kind of encouragement by organizations is not being supplemented by compensation growth. So while they're saying you can grow in many directions, you're still compensated for growth only in one single direction. And employees cannot and definitely should not have it just one way.
Yeah, and as usual, you come up with a bold idea, which is, how can we compensate, or why don't organizations compensate for horizontal growth? Because the one narrative that's going on a lot in some of the articles on this topic that we've come across is, hey, there are, because of the slowdown, there's lack of these vertical growth opportunities. So organizations should foster lateral growth. But I've yet to come across an organization that actually accompanies lateral growth with some kind of a compensation increase. And I think that's where organizations need to really think differently. What companies can, like, there's two things that also come to my mind as to what companies can do. So firstly, build better internal talent movement systems that can really help employees move in a seamless manner to internal roles. So for example, PwC recently rolled out Talent Exchange, which is an internal talent marketplace where employees can fill their career interests, and then they get matched to these internal projects or a job or a different role. However, to your point, Ankita, I'm not sure if there's any compensation component associated with those moves unless that role is at the next level. Secondly, I think organizations also need to change their mindset regarding internal movements accompanied by promotions. So there are companies that do a really good job of internally rotating employees, but they are still averse to promotions or level increases accompanied by such moves. And trust me, like, there's nothing more frustrating as an employee when you know your promotion is stifled due to reasons beyond your control, things like slowdown, lack of opportunities, and not your performance. But then you see there are other parts of the organization hiring employees in higher level roles. So such a process should have guardrails, but they shouldn't be too unrealistic. And we need to promote more of those.
I agree. And I think if you are moving someone internally, that's good for both the individual. It's also good for the organization because they're most likely getting their future CEO from all of this movement. So pay me more to grow, and I am willing to grow in any direction. But if you pay me only to grow upwards, then I'll probably want to grow only in that direction. And with that, I'm going to take us to our last topic for the day. And I really like this one. So neurodiversity was already finding its way into all DEI conversations. Per a Wall Street Journal report, many autistic workers are said to have unique abilities to work long hours and on repetitive tasks. Being hyper-focused allows them to spot irregularities in lines of code or find flaws in cybersecurity. With artificial intelligence rising to the forefront of many sectors, neurodivergence is increasingly considered a qualification rather than a disability. And the tech industry has long been known for recruiting and nurturing autistic workers for complex tasks like programming. And now other industries, including banking and retail, are taking note. Now, Apurva, I have a framework that organizations could use to possibly build a strategy. But before I get to it, how do you feel about this news?
So firstly, I feel that I'm very encouraged by this news. And while I feel there's still a long way to go, so for example, over 76% of employees do not disclose that they are dyslexic or have ADHD. So there's, of course, a lot more that organizations need to do to make employees feel comfortable disclosing their disabilities. And on the other hand, there's also 50% of autistic adults in the US who are unemployed. So there's a lot that needs to still be done in this space. However, this news is definitely a positive step in the right direction. The one thing that stuck with me from the Wall Street Journal article was the president of a New York-based nonprofit that helps place autistic workers saying, you would have companies who would say in the past, hey, I know nothing about hiring neurodiverse people. But that stigma or that fear factor is largely gone now. So I remember a time, I think it was some 4 or 5 years back, when I was working on a focused effort to hire people with disabilities for corporate roles. And one of the apprehensions that we had was that our facilities are not fully equipped to handle people who may have different types of physical disabilities. So things like access to ramps, braille scripts on lifts and meeting rooms, accessible washrooms, etc. And we were given a plan by our internal team to fix these over several years. And when I started talking to some external NGOs who worked with corporates on hiring people with disabilities, they advised us not to wait to achieve a perfect setup. Rather than start with what we had at the time, be honest with the candidates and figure things out as we went. So sometimes organizations tend to be overcautious in their approach, while they should just move things along and figure things out on the way and involve employees with disabilities in the process. Now, I know what I said was based on my firsthand experience with people with physical disabilities, but I do think some of those elements apply even with neurodiverse individuals. But I'm curious to know more about the framework that you mentioned, Ankita.
Okay, here goes. So the framework has three components: understanding, infrastructure, and culture. So you start by building an organization-wide understanding of neurodiversity and what inclusion looks like in this sphere. And this is especially important because a lot of diversity in this space is not very visible, whereas certain other kinds of diversity might be. So it's important to know that what it may or may not look like, but also not assume. Like, I've had people come up to me and say, oh, I think this person is autistic and hence they're behaving some way. And I don't think that's the right approach for us to diagnose someone without actually knowing. So we definitely need understanding. The second is infrastructure. So you have to follow it up with strong infrastructure like text-to-speech tools, differentiated hiring practices, and AI assistance. I think some aspects you can make up as you go along, but sometimes you need to invest upfront because one wrong statement or one fall could actually have a lifelong impact of corporate experience on an individual. And then lastly is culture. So you make it a part of the culture and everyday life. So there you go. That's my three-piece framework. And for those who are curious to know more or talk about it, please reach out and I'm happy to discuss it. And next time someone brings their 4 feet blue teddy bear into the meeting room, just consider that the smartest person in the room may have just walked in. And no, I'm not talking about the teddy bear or the bear in the room.
That's a bold statement, Ankita. I really love that.
Yeah. Okay. So those were our three topics. And before we go, here are two other things that we think you should know. First, the World Economic Forum 2024 Global Gender Gap Report was released on 11th June, and it found that the global gender gap score is 68.5%. Now, this means that 31.5% of the gap remains unaddressed. Now, this is a 0.1 percentage point improvement from 2023. So, while there has been progress, it is extremely slow and incremental. Now, at this rate, the report estimates that it will take until 2158 to reach full gender parity, which is 5 generations beyond the 2030 Sustainable Development Goal target. And I am definitely not going to live till 2158. So can we please accelerate so that I can see it while I'm still alive?
Yes, please. So secondly, this happened a while ago, but in case you missed it, OpenAI dissolved its safety team. So the supposedly nonprofit organization ended the only thing that was standing in the way of it making profits.
That's scary. So that was our, Apurva, to use your word, news bulletin for the day. I hope, Bandits, you get to take a break over the summer if you haven't already. I know we are definitely going to take some time off. That's not going to be sick leave, hopefully. And before we leave, we are also dropping you a few summer vacation tips in the show notes. So on that note, I'm going to get us out of here on behalf of NHRDN and Apurva. This is Ankita, and we are out.
You're tuned in to the HR Bandit podcast, your one-way ticket to the latest and craziest in the world of work. In partnership with Timber Media, Podcaster for India Inc. is sponsored by Adrenaline eSystems Limited.